Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, March 14th, 2011. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today's show is going to inform, inspire, and encourage you, and in a moment we will begin today's episode, Explore, Embrace, and Celebrate Learning, with my guest, Greta Nagel, Founding Director of the Museum of Teaching and Learning in Southern California. First, I'd like to welcome all of you, however, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us because I know you have lots of other things you could do with your time. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it who can benefit. And others, including you, can go on the show page at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. You can do that 24/7 and click follow the show. That way you'll keep track of what I'm up to. You could also click add yourself as a friend. Most important, you can go to on-demand episodes and listen to any of the 3 years, going on 3 years worth of interviews that are there. Now, again, I'm Flora Brown. For those of you who don't know me, I'm an author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, where you can get a copy of my book. You can sign up for life coaching. There's a special ebook you're going to get free when you subscribe to my newsletter. I'm also happy to report that for those of you who've been asking about my book on Kindle, it is available for downloading to your Kindle or your smartphone. So go ahead and do that if you're one of those that's been waiting for that. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Now, to reach that goal, each week I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, you name it, all of those things contribute to our lasting happiness. Now, today, my guest is Dr. Greta Nagel. She's the founding director and curator of the Museum of Teaching and Learning, which we all lovingly call MOTL. Greta is an educator with experience as a teacher, learning specialist, elementary principal, and college professor. She is now professor emerita from California State University, Long Beach. Greta is also the author of The Tao of Teaching, in addition to many other articles and books related to teaching and learning. She received her bachelor's degree in art history from Illinois Knox College, her master's in education from Cal State Fullerton, and her doctorate in multicultural education from San Diego State. Among awards Nagel has received are the recent Robert Kelly Award, the PTA Honorary Service Award, the California Distinguished School Award, the International Reading Association Celebrate Literacy Award, and so on. She was named also the Outstanding Alumni of the Graduate Reading Program at Cal State University Fullerton. Now, her idea for a museum actually began in the 90s. Her earliest work for MOTL started as funded projects in research and writing in 2002. She directed the first events and exhibits that were created as a special project at Cal State Long Beach in 2004. Incorporation as a nonprofit public charity was set in the spring of 2008. So you can see this has been in progress for quite a while. You can find out further details about MOTL at www.modal.org and over on Facebook. Now, MOTL creates exhibits and events that explore, communicate, and celebrate how people learn. But I'm going to let Greta tell you more about that. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show Greta Nagel. Hi, Greta.
Oh, hi, Flora. Thanks for having me.
I am delighted you were able to join us because finally people get to learn more about MOTL. I've kept up with MOTL over the years, attending a number of your events. And so now it's time to let other people know on a bigger scale. I know that you've been thinking for a long time about how we learn and the importance of public education. And as someone who was educated in the public sector, I want to thank you for that dedication because it's important. So could you start by telling us what made this love of learning and public education, your interest in this, lead to this idea for creating a museum?
Well, you know, I love your question because I think it's a story that had a beginning when I was a child. I grew up in Chicago, and my parents were museum goers because Chicago, of course, is quite a museum town. And as a child, when they read to me, there was a spinning wheel in the story of Sleeping Beauty, and they wanted me to know what a real spinning wheel was like. And and so as my mother had written later, they took me all around, first to one museum where there was no spinning wheel, at the Natural History Museum, and then they took me to see a small spinning wheel at the Museum of Science and Industry. And so I think museums as places of learning has been with me forever, because love of travel, that's where I head. If I go to a new country or a new city, I just love being in museums. And so having an opportunity to make a difference for people, because people, you know, need to have good educations in a democracy. That's so important for democracy to work. And the idea of public education, you know, is very complicated and, as we know, quite difficult. But people don't know so much about education, and I see that need for legislators as well as parents and students to know more, and it seemed that a vehicle like a museum would get attention and be a pleasant way, but a meaningful way for people to learn more and have, I hope, hands-on experiences that would help them understand how people learn, how people best learn.
That's, you know what, that is a wonderful story about how your parents took you to museums to see the real life items or examples of things you were reading in books, because that of course extended your knowledge, but it made it real. And I was thinking, as you were saying, how you, when you travel, you go to museums because that's where the information and knowledge and replicas of past lives are, that's where it's housed, in every country, every city, correct?
Oh, definitely. And here we are near Los Angeles, and Orange County too has some fine museums, including the Bowers, for example. But people, you know, they'd be embarrassed if they went to a city like London and didn't go to the British Museum. But
yes,
somehow people forget to embrace the museums in their own hometown. So
yes,
so
that's true.
Interesting thing.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because one of my goals this year is to create sort of an itinerary for when people come to visit me, because I host guests from around the world, but in this country too, and to have some specific places to take them is kind of important. You have to plan ahead because you won't always think about them once they're here. So I was thinking of doing that very thing with museums and other sites. That's wonderful. Now, your museum, the Museum of Teaching and Learning, is a unique concept. Are there any other museums like it that you used as a model? How did you decide how to create yours?
Well, the dream of the museum is based on a book that I developed. I have an outline and quite a few chapters developed, 26 chapters of things that I believe the public should know about education. And so that's how that started, as an academic, a scholarly and creative project way back in 2002 and the next years. But it, at that time, I thought of it as a unique concept. Now, as time went by, I've learned that there are museums, not like the one I've created with my ideas, but there are museums in places within the United States as well as overseas that deal with topics in education. Mm-hmm. And so Illinois and in the U.S., they're all in university campuses, and we were there at our university campus at Long Beach for a while, but decided that it would be more accessible to be a public museum, mm-hmm. you know, and so that's when we incorporated outside of the foundation there at Long Beach. But mm-hmm. Illinois has a history of museum. Education Museum, the Blackwell Museum. That's at Northern Illinois University. There's a Teachers Hall of Fame in Kansas that has exhibits associated with it. There's one in Ohio that focuses on invention. There's one in South Carolina. And again, these are rather small places. In university, sponsored by university interested parties. South Carolina has one that honors researchers in education. And so it, you know, there are others who would love to see a national museum develop, and I was delighted just by chance to communicate with people at Project Zero at Harvard University, who at almost the same time I was writing had come up with a white paper about a museum of learning that they envisioned, and they realized that fundraising was so difficult, they were happy to give me their ideas about exhibits, and and so, you know, once we're able to create a facility with exhibits, and this could also be online, of course. We would be honored to use some of their ideas, and you know, since I wrote the book, there are other kinds of things that have come up that people said, wouldn't this be wonderful? And I would like to see so many things, but we have to right now focus, and we're focusing one thing at a time.
You mentioned fundraising. This has got to be a primary challenge for any nonprofit. So what kinds of fundraisers do I know? I've attended a number. What do you have coming up next that's a fundraiser? Do you have something in the works?
Oh, well, thank you. And you've been great. You are not only someone who attends, but I love the way you've gone with the theme for the occasion, like fabulous sporties. I enjoyed how you dressed up, Flora. That was great.
Thank you.
The pictures prove it. These are difficult times for museums and for nonprofits in general. Mm-hmm. The financial crisis was a shock, and so people who would typically fund organizations like ours have turned to basic needs to look at issues of homelessness and poverty, and nevertheless, some of us who are so immersed in education have to hold high this ideal, because we can't stoop to the lowest level of that triangle of needs, but how important education remains. And as this world grows and competes, we can see that the United States wishes to continue to keep its economic and brain edge, so to speak. You know, we have to pursue learning and how to learn best, particularly in areas of math and science now that are suffering.
Yes. Now, if someone is listening and wants to donate, contribute to Modal, what's the best way for them to do that?
Uh-huh. Well, we're just recovering from 3 weeks of fundraisers. Each weekend we had an event, and we're going to be speaking to more civic groups in the very near future. But we have a website. I'll say it twice because at www.motal, which is spelled M-O-T-A-L, .org. That is our website, and it is being updated probably as we speak because we just had an event yesterday that was at a local restaurant. And so, again, that was www.motal.org.
Okay. So listeners can go there, and they'll see a way to donate and learn more about the organization as well, which I want to move right into talking about what exhibits and activities visitors can expect to see when they visit Motal.
Right. Okay, well, and I shouldn't forget to mention Facebook, because we're on Facebook for the Museum of Teaching and Learning, and I try to be good about keeping my Facebook up, Greta Nagel.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
In either case, people sometimes just like to get on Google or one of those search engines and look for Museum of Teaching and Learning.
Mm-hmm.
But we have finished three exhibits and are working very hard now on the fourth, which is our largest exhibition, actually, that's going to be opening in September. We don't have our own museum yet, but we've been honored and privileged to use other spaces. This time, after we had a smaller exhibit over at the Museum of Tolerance in
mm-hmm.
L.A.,
yes.
we brought that listening station to the old Orange County Courthouse, right here in Santa Ana.
Okay.
And that courthouse has a lovely museum space on its upper floor thanks to OC Parks, will be able to use that for the school year in order to honor how California became the first state to desegregate its schools.
Wow.
Many people don't know that in
That's
the 40s,
true.
Long before Brown versus Board of Education helped the nation desegregate, things were very busy here in Orange County with the court case Mendez et al. Versus Westminster et al. And I'm cautious to say et al. Because sometimes court cases are like this, that there may be many plaintiffs in a class
mm-hmm.
action suit, but the
mm-hmm.
the first name party is often thought of as the only party, but
right.
there were five plaintiff families and many organizations and people supporting the effort to desegregate the schools right here in Orange County.
Yeah,
there
I'm
were,
sure a lot of people don't know that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And this you said is going to be a listening station. So when visitors go to the old Orange County Courthouse, they will be able to not only see displays but also listen to various things. What will they be listening to?
I'll explain a little bit more. Right
okay.
now, there is a listening station that we brought over from the Museum of Tolerance. It's up and running, and that's on the first floor of the courthouse. In September, at the very beginning of September, we'll be opening in the exhibition space that's 2,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be telling a story. It'll be a big exhibit that will have many aspects to it, many interactive things, including more chances to listen and touch things. And we're really pleased to see our developing junior docent program. The case Mendez versus Westminster is now going to be included as an important civil rights learning for 11th graders in their studies and 4th graders. And so the Junior Dobson program will focus on 11th graders and people of that age group to help them refine their leadership and speaking skills as they work with school groups, especially fourth graders who will be coming through the museum on weekdays.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, other people go to that museum. That courthouse is a popular place for people to get married, so people discover the museum sometimes when they've been attending a wedding. But they have delightful traveling exhibits that come through, and as I said, we're feeling very special that we'll get to be there for a long run.
Right. That's wonderful. So I just want to remind listeners that this is in Orange County, California, because there is an Orange County, Florida. This is the old Orange County Courthouse in Orange County, California, where MODL will have an exhibit starting September and running for how long will this continue?
We're going to be there for the school year, so school groups will have plenty of opportunity to come. And I should mention the title of the exhibit because it is a title, we call it for short, A Class Action. And it carries sort of a double meaning because it was a class act as well. But it's A Class Action, The Grassroots Struggle for School Desegregation in California.
Okay, A Class Action, The Grassroots Struggle, say it again, for?
The Grassroots Struggle for School Desegregation in California.
Wow, okay. It's been my pleasure to have met some of the Mendez family at your events over the years and to learn about this desegregation process. And I can assure you there are a lot of people who don't know about California's part in this. And so this is a wonderful thing that you're doing for the schools and for the rest of us, actually. Are there any other upcoming projects you want to share with us? I know right now you're so focused on this one.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
What is the next project after this one? This is going to be a year long. What else is in the works?
Well, there's such an array of things that are possibilities, but the reason, for example, we focus on Mendez versus Westminster is because I paid a visit to Washington, including the Department of Education, and was seeking advice there. And so as our advisors there looked at our list of many possibilities, they said, this is where, you know, we would advise you to go concentrate on that case that's so important to the nation. And yet, you know, it's something where you can develop a local following and a California presence. And so we took that advice. And now I think we're going to have to be wise about making sure that the topic we choose also has a broad base of funding. Among the top three choices have been having exhibits and hands-on experiences so people can learn how people with learning disabilities are able to learn in our schools now.
Mm-hmm.
There are wonderful kinds of technology that make it possible, along with the sorts of things that teachers do to help adapt to, let's say, a student with autism. Not just a matter of the machines and books adapting, but the human being, and that human interaction can make such an important difference.
Yeah.
Reading, as I spoke with the curator of the wonderful Skirball Museum, she was addressing the fact that she always thought a big exhibit of exploring reading, the topic of reading and the, you know, the history of how people learned to read initially when literacy was so new. And of course the techniques that work for students today. There are some timeless truths about reading that I know
we could
find interesting.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And that's my area of expertise, by the way, is reading.
Yes.
And I think reading is important right now because of the popularity of things like e-books and Kindle and so forth. A lot of people think that reading has declined because bookstores are closing, but reading has not declined. It's just taking on a new, moving to a new phase, is moving to maybe new format, but reading itself has never declined. People thought that when the computer came along that we would write less and read less, and of course the truth is just the opposite. We can read and write more because of the computer.
Right. Things, you know, I think in schools too, students, you know, the types of literature they read, if we look back 150 years, we'll discover that there's just an amazing difference in the vast topics and depth of literature that students explore.
Yeah, that's an exciting topic. That's a timeless topic, as you said.
And
I don't want us to run out of time. We have 4 minutes.
I want you to tell us
quickly. I know it goes fast, doesn't it? What has been Modal's proudest achievement in the years that you've developed this program?
Oh, gee. You know, each step we say, phew, we did it. but I think that I'm just so honored and pleased that there has been the great amount of community involvement. We're blessed by the many people who give their talents and time to our events and our exhibits, and right now the partnerships, the collaboration we've had with excellent people from the Orange County Department of Education, the Center for Oral and Public History right here in my hometown, Cal State Fullerton, the professor who is the curator for this exhibit, Ray Rast, has been wonderful, and we have a collaboration with people at Fullerton College, and we'll be using the newest documentary that came out on KOCE that features Mendez versus Westminster. We are, as I mentioned, OC Parks has been terrific, and the old Courthouse Museum, where Marshall Duell is the curator and directs things, we just couldn't do it. We have a fine budget, and we're going to, you know, after we spent in excess of $30,000 for the listening station, we're going to have enough money to fabricate and have designed a very interesting exhibit. So,
That's wonderful. Well, I am so delighted to hear that. As somebody who's been following you and attending a number of your events, I'm delighted to see the growth. And I'm going to encourage listeners to please go over to www.motal.org to learn more about this wonderful museum and to contribute, because it's very much a worthy cause. Thank you, Gretel, for being on the show. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. I want to urge you to tune in next week, because we're going to have another exciting show for you on Monday, March 21st at 11 a.m. Let me remind you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com. Grab your free book when you subscribe to my newsletter, and be sure to tune in again next week to the show. In the meantime, let me remind you to have a blessed week, and of course, you know I'm going to remind you to color your life happy.
Color, color your life happy.
Color.